With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, driving passion for sport and communities throughout Ireland and abroad.
We may not be able to get in on the sporting action we're used to, but we can get in on some exclusive offers from Renault. To celebrate their second year as official car partner of the GAA, Renault is offering a range of special offers on their new and used vehicles, exclusive to all GAA club members. So now you can take home the win right to your door. Check out Renault.ie/GAA to find out more.
Ah, it has to be a free at rest, says your man, for someone else. Just because he's Shamie Callanan hurling the year in my ass, says your man. How's he entitled that free there? And, oh, lads, I tell you.
And somebody said to me during the week, right, that a foolish man complains of his torn pocket, right, while the wise man uses it as an opportunity to scratch his conker's nail. You know that, don't you?
It's the weekly Gary Spillane classic.
Well, for me, this game is like a death dog. Just have to call it.
Like... I actually think, if I'm Liam Cahill, I'd love to land Kyle Hayes back in his hole. Only, I can tell you. I'd be prepared to take a yellow for that. No, I can tell you that.
This is Mac. I'd say it was the back actor of a JCB to do that.
Yeah. Morning, folks. How y'all? Happy Christmas to everybody out there. You're very welcome along to the Irish Examiner in conjunction with Renault. Lads, we're all driving Renault. It's a great crack here. TJ, how's your Coleos going for you?
Very good. Dello, good morning from the home of the league, Munster and All-Ireland champions in 2020.
Oh, Jesus. That's
Matt Flanders there, lads. Coming in there.
The new home of hurling.
Are you not going to mention the minors?
The minors, I'll give them another 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, they might be All-Ireland champions. A fantastic win last week. And the 20s, a little bit unlucky. But no, great year for Limerick. So it's a good morning and happy Christmas from the home of hurling.
Oh my God.
Yeah, as I said to the last time, 2 All-Irelands in 3 years. Like, we got 2 in a fortnight in 1990. And, like, haven't we listened to that now on Christmas Eve? Like, unbelievable stuff. But, is it 3 in a row? What will we be listening to?
I swear, I'd rather if Limerick done 9 in a row than your crowd, Tipperary or Sikini, ever winning another one again. Because I'm in that camp of you're the golden triangle. Do you know what I mean? And we are not, TJ. Now, right.
Correct.
Yeah, it's only a triangle, I said, sure. Yeah. Oh, I'm including Cork. I don't know,
Look, that's just respect, to be honest, yeah.
Because I saw the Ringy programme. Because, yeah, the Ringy programme was very good now. It was brilliant. In fairness to Michael Minahan of this parish, it's class show, wasn't it?
Really good, yeah.
He's an iconic man. And do you know what it proves as well? The cameo and the pictures and the bit of video footage. Like, I never saw Ring playing, but I obviously heard about him and his stories are told day in, day out. But to have some pictures of him is fantastic.
And Dello, he played club hurling until he was 47. I'm 46. So I'm just wondering,
is there a year now?
1 year.
Yourself, Donny, and excuse me, what's the other brother? Yeah, he was the best hurler.
He was the best of us, yeah. Myself and Donnie in two-man full forward, I'd be better, I'd say. Then he'd be kind of more sweep and drop into us.
I'd say it'd be like the Limerick set up at the moment. You'd be the edge of the square Gillan type, yeah. And Donnie outside you.
Yeah, true.
Would Donnie be Peter Casey now or Graham Mulcahy? He certainly wouldn't be Shamie Flanagan now.
No, he'd be kind of more whiskey.
I'd say Mulcahy. Graham Mulcahy, I'd say. Flying all over the place.
So 47, so there's 1 year left of me.
Yeah, it was a brilliant programme. It was a brilliant programme.
Yeah, really, really good.
There was a couple of other archives, I think, on during the week, was there? Did I happen to see?
Yeah, I saw you as well, like, with kind of locks on you. And you were on about Welcome Back to Leaside and stuff. No, it was reminiscent about the revolutionary years. But then part of the Golden Triangle started the decade. Tipperary in 91, let's say. And then Kilkenny won another couple. And then we took over then. TJ, unfortunately, you didn't get one back then. Now you are the Kings, all right. Then
Wexford in there.
99 came back and won one.
Yeah,
Westford, Ufalia. Yeah. What was the worst one, TJ? Was 94? I know you weren't there in 94, no, but...
Was
96 worse than 94? Were you playing 94?
I was kind of far from 94, then.
Oh, jeez, I grew up.
I was only a garçon. What age were
you? 14?
No. I was only out of minor there in 94. I played in both of them in the forwards. What was the worst? I was very fresh. 94 was my first year on the panel. I was very fresh and new to the scene. Taking back at it, 96 was definitely the worst. It was inexcusable. We came back in the Munster final against Tip after being 10 points down, won a Super Munster Championship, the last of...
Hey, beat us as well, like.
Yeah, the last of the knockout championships. And... I don't know. To this day, I don't know how we left it behind us. But look, I suppose it was great. It would be great crack, you know, and great. It was real old style hurling, man and man, or different to the tactical game of today. But I was lucky to play with a great team, and those guys like down the middle, Carey, Hegarty, Houlihan, Gary Kirby, Chase, incredible players. So we left them behind us. But look, it was what it was. No point in living in the past. I suppose that's kind of maybe more credit to the current team, Dalo, because Limerick kind of had plenty of misfortune and whatever luck, what you want to call it, and all them things through the, say, from 74, like after they won in 73 onwards, and a couple of All-Irelands could have been won, they weren't. But these guys broke the mould, and now they're kind of, they've raised the bar, and they're kind of leaving a good legacy for the future generations. And I suppose that's what it is.
Is it born, TJ, compared to your team? Like, you were... Ourselves and yourselves in November 1996, 24,000 people in the Gaelic grounds for a National League game. Like, it was the day the two Nashes and Jim McInerney got sent off. Like, think about that. Like, you know what? Like, that's magic stuff. Like,
yeah, I think from a spectator point of view, it's different. Today, I wouldn't say today is definitely not boring. So we were trying to get into the intrigue and the tactics of a team that I wouldn't say today is boring, right? But back then, it was kind of like, it was real entertainment. It was mad stuff. It was man on man. It was Gwyn. Like, remember before the national anthem, you'd win and mark your man, and you could say, right, am I, do you know what I mean? Am I getting my retaliation in first here, or what am I doing? Like, right?
Depends on who you're on.
Yeah, like, that's true. Yeah, but I got...
Imagine if you were on Mike Houlihan now, like, Jesus, you'd be leaving the Hurley by your side, like, wouldn't you?
I there was worse than Mike Houlihan now. Like, I was on Frank Lohan for a couple of times there, and it was like...
No, there wasn't worse than Mike Houlihan.
I don't know.
Frank Lohan's
like Mother Teresa alongside Houlihan.
No, absolutely.
It bordered on abuse there for a couple of games, to be honest.
Will you go away, will you?
Is that why you ran away back down to the back line?
Yeah, absolutely. I said, no, I want to be like him, yeah. But I do remember some of those league games, and yeah, it was incredible. Even the game, and as I said, when we won it in 96, like, it was like, where would you get entertainment like that with a freaking score like in from Kieran Carey? It was unreal.
I didn't go up to the dressing room, but obviously Gerlach Nam went up to the dressing room after that 96 game. And you wouldn't stop singing Sean South and Gary Owen when the great Gerlach Nam walked into the dressing room. Like, oh. Is that true or untrue? Have you any memory of that?
No. I don't. That was the time, Dino, when journalists would come into the dressing room and sit down beside
you. Oh, yeah.
This?
Yeah, brilliant.
Unreal, like, yeah. Look, Nam stopped that as well when he cleared Michal of Murthy one day. He didn't clear him, like, but he says, everyone leave the dressing room. And, like, Michal didn't, you know, Michal was Michal. He was above all journalists, like. And Michal had to go out as well. I think people didn't like us anymore after that thing.
It's a bit like where Limerick are now. So when you start winning and you're successful, you know what I mean? Like, everyone, like, I think you kind of said it, everyone will give you one, right? But after that, you can say, that's enough for them, no.
TJ, before you go away from the Limerick in 96, was Kieran Carey the best hurler you played with?
100%, no question.
Yeah.
He was extremely talented. He could just do things with the ball and in the air. Like you can see... there was a touch of Keane's flair in Kieran as well. He had it, like, you know, and I would say that if Kieran probably maybe trained as hard as maybe the boys at the modern game, whatever, right? I'd say that he would have been even greater again. But for me, without a doubt, he was the leader back then, like, just an incredible player.
Yeah.
Like, he got scores in the league final, and they said in just different times, even from centre back, centre field, like, yeah, he was
Dela, just on the point, you know, the point that broke your hats in 96. Can you still remember him soling up the field and wonder what can you still see that in your mind's eye now? Like,
because actually, Matt, before Dale answers that, right? If you see Kieran, when Kieran Carey caught that ball, right? If you can look at this just to make sure that I'm telling the truth, he caught it in a centre back position, right? I don't know how it was.
He didn't, he was midfield.
but he caught it in a centre-back position, right? He might have been midfield. He was behind midfield, right? If you look, I was wearing the red helmet, right? I don't know why I was all around there, but I made a beautiful...
I don't know how you were still on.
I don't know how I was still on, yeah. I was out. I made a beautiful roll on the right hand side. He could have popped it out to me. I could have made it easier for him. But
yeah, that's why I didn't go at him, sir. For my men to get the winning score.
you'd have needed a Yamaha to catch him that day, Dale, because he went up the middle and he jinked in the one way and then the other way and he left.
And you know what, Dale? For Kieran to put a ball over the bar off his right hand side now would have been fairly
unique.
That
was a big thing. I know. Off the hurley.
Off the hurley. Like.
I remember McMahon roaring, like, it was a bit like Braveheart. Hold. That if one of us went him, like,
right.
Fergal Hegarty had him. That was my biggest memory. And all I knew was Fergal Hegarty was possibly the fastest man on the Clare team. And he wasn't getting away from Fergal Hegarty. But Fergal Hegarty then got tripped on his feet.
Stumbled, yeah.
And he stumbled and gone. And then we all kind of made a move to go at him. But the big thing was, if we fouled him, Kirby would have definitely put it over the bar. Do you know?
Yeah.
And there was a chance, as you said, TJ, if he was forced onto his right and off the hurley. But there you go. What a piece of genius from a genius.
Incredible.
What a score. I think it was the greatest point I ever saw. Like, and we've seen great ones this year alone. Like, but to do that at the time,
correct,
and the magnitude and like the whole occasion that day, TJ, I'll never forget that match. Like, that match is seared in my memory bigger than the two All-Irelands I played in.
It was a combination of all those years there, though. And I suppose, look, with Clare winning and Limerick losing 94, Clare winning 95, and then like the culmination coming, like, there was great rivalry between the two counties then on and off the field. A healthy one, like, but that match came the culmination of it. Like, that was a roasting hot day, and it was the old Gaelic ground I spoke about before, where it was all terrace all the way around, and the crowd was heaving, like, it was like on top of you.
Magic. So magic. Right? Like, I'll never forget Aron Levine, like just standing there. And I you know the way Aron Levine, I suppose, maybe me, some people take different things out of it, you know. Yeah,
to be honest, even going to championship matches today, like when the crowd, everyone sings Aron Levine together before the start of the championship match, like, you would still get the old heebie-jeebies to kind of say, Jesus, like, to bring back great memories of those championships.
But you're below on the pitch, though, TJ.
I know
it's not, you're, it doesn't mean, like, now I get teary and everything, listening to it when the full Croke Park, we wish it's back again, sings it, or the full Cusick Park, or the full Gaelic Grounds, Thurles, Cork, whatever. And like when you're below on the field and you've about a minute to go to throw in, you might be thinking. But I remember taking it in that day and saying, "Oh my God! Like, this is incredible! Like, do you know what, to be here? Like,
you know that 60 seconds there while that is being played, you're just getting in your final thoughts. All the training has been done. The speeches have been made. The fellas have said certain things to you during the week. They might flash into your mind, but that 60 seconds there, then the coldness comes out, and you know when that ball is thrown in, it's hell for leather, like, and it's dog eat dog, it's man on man.
This is championship.
Oh yeah, and you went to win the first one. Whatever happens, the first ball is a critical one, because you're setting down that marker with the fella you're marking, and you're also setting it down for your teammates. You're not going to let them down by being beaten for the first ball, whatever happens. And I think it sets the tone. I always felt when I was playing in the midfield, Anthony, I always went in at the front of the clash. And I said, I didn't give a shite whether I got belted left, right and centre. Once I could just move the ball to the Cork way. And if it was only a touch, I felt just that was a major win. And if it was only a flick I could get on the ball, it was great. It was great in my head, mentally.
Anyway, Dillo, let's get to the modern day. I'm curious to see how many Limerick fellas and Landers have on this team of the year. Like, I'm finding it hard to leave any of them out, really, myself, last night going through it. So I'm just really curious to see your few picks first.
Yeah, well, look, obviously we tried to avoid this a bit the day after the game, because, you know, it was plenty to talk about the day after the game, and Christmas special was always going to be on our agenda here. Like, and, you know, we thank Renault as well for their kind support to this show, and the year that was in it, lads, you know, I think we've enjoyed it as much as the listeners as well. Like, we look forward to the chats and the brilliant guests we had between Hoagie, Ken, Jer, Derek, who else? We Brownie.
Tony Brown is the one, Dale, that sticks out.
Tony Brown, lads. Did you ever meet a man that was in Zen like Tony Brown?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Wonder.
And like, he was really, he was living the dream of the war. But he, and like, you felt he could actually tug out himself. He was busted.
He probably could. Actually,
the phone was ready. Come here. Is there any chance Liam Cahill might give me a ring when his legs are injured? I'll play. Yeah. No problem.
I'd say Brody has a 10K done this morning. Like,
we wouldn't do it in a year, I suppose, would we?
But you would want to get your act together anyway, I tell you that much.
First of January. I have a promise made to ourselves. We're going to go walking on the 1st of January.
Walking?
Yeah.
I used to say in Clarkcastle years ago, when the boys had come back in for a meeting, and famously, our great taxi driver, Brian Hayes, he's a guest man, but he, great hurler, Brian Hayes, now won championships 86, 87, and I was only coming onto the scene in 87, Soban 87, and I was sitting beside him, he was Soban 87 himself, but... he was come back in around 91 or 2, and I was beginning to get bowled in. I wanted to win championships, and Hayes like wouldn't be the fittest. Like, and he used to say, "Well, I'm walking." Like, and I used to say, "Johnny Scanlon is walking," and Johnny was about 60. Didn't like, he'd be Danny Scanlon, who played in 98 now, you know, in the Offaly trilogy. Yeah. He'd be Danny's dad, like, ah, great family, neighbours of mine. But I said, "Johnny Scanlon is walking, Hayes, walking and going to work here." So Lander's walking, you start jogging now, right?
Yeah, well, I might break into a jog. There's a little bit of a hill. I might jog downhill and walk back uphill. How about that?
Larry,
that.
Don't you?
We could do a
Larry,
thing
don't you play in that social? Don't you play in that social hurling there with Johnny O'Connor and Rob Hanrahan and all those fellas?
No, I haven't gone down to that yet, Dale. No. I thought we were getting a five-a-side against the football podcast. Are we?
Who's on that again? Kieran Sheehan, McConville.
Yeah.
I'll mark Paul Rose.
I'll take O'Sheen.
Jesus, I'm not getting Kieran Sheehan on me.
Yeah. Christ. You just do a hatchet job early on.
Yeah.
Pull him down.
And do. And we'll sit deep, right? And we'll knock it up to Larry.
Yeah.
Well, TJ, yeah, team of the year, the Sunday game. Like, the biggest thing for me with the whole thing with that was Jackie Tyrrell voting for 3 men in midfield.
What a load of scour.
Yeah. Are you listening, Mr. Turtle?
It was some joke, no.
It was unadulterated scutter, wasn't it?
Yeah. Pure. I tell a AAA goal in Maverick now, he'd win a dose of that now, I can tell you.
Yeah, but TJ, Desi Cahill coming on the Sunday game, because we'd all a vote, like any analyst has a vote, right? So send in my team, and 1-15 now, I may say. And Desi said, "Well, I'd like to remind all the listeners that, you know, everyone of our analysts has had a vote on this. Scutter, Desi, because if you're not in the studio that night, I know the way it works, you don't get to pick it." Well, Dalo's team is, and Don Logue says, "Dale, aren't you like?" This is the team. So their team basically was Nicky in the goal, Sean Finn, Dan Morrissey and Dahi Burke, Burns, De Burka and Hayes, Kyle. Three-man midfield, Cian Lynch, Jamie Barron, and TK. Can't beat TK. Can't stop TK. Half-forward line of Tom Morrissey, TJ Reid, and Hago. Hurler of the year, Hago. We're not even going to debate that. And then inside, a two-man full-forward line of Bennett and Gillan, which is good, in fairness, if you had them.
Yeah.
But we're not going down that road, lads, are we?
No,
definitely not.
So are we agreed on Nicky Quaid? It's only between yourself and Stephen O'Keefe, right?
Yeah, I've the same front seven, but I have Conor Delaney for a big mention of Conor back instead of Dahi Burke.
Oh yeah.
That's the only one I'm agreed on all of them, to be honest with it, like, you know.
So you'll give Kilkenny too?
I'm not giving Conor. I give it to Dahi Burke, but I'm saying that I think Conor Delaney had a fantastic year. It wouldn't cost me a thought to put Conor Delaney in. I don't know, to be fair, because Dahi Burke played a full-back. Conor probably played there on a number of occasions as well, but I mean, I don't think you can argue with any of the other defenders. And the goalkeeper, even though Nicky Quaid didn't get a whole pile to stop, he was very efficient, and the puck-outs have become such a critical thing now. Probably an average 45 puck-outs. And you don't see too many of Nicky Quaid's puck-outs intercepted, which is a big thing. And I suppose you saw against Galway in the semi-final, the goalkeeper for Galway struggled with the puck-outs. He coughed up maybe 4 or 5 points in a very, very tight game. And TJ, if you go back close on that game, and I wouldn't like to be laying it on the goalkeeper, but if the goalkeepers were swapped, I think Galway could have ended up in the All-Ireland final very quick.
Yeah, look, like what Nicky did all year and what he's been doing consistently now for a couple of years is he's getting that puck out really, really right. They're very much in tune. And I suppose we all know from being involved with teams trying to sink that puck out between the goalie and all your backs and midfielders and half hours, getting that movement right. But look, let's go back to Nicky. Just the ability to be able to stick that ball from 70, 80 yards, time in, time out, to a fella in 4, 5, 6 yards of pocket space, they look consistently doing it very well. And for me, guaranteed number one.
No all-star one knock, Nicky Quaid. Like, it's kind of hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, but I suppose if you go back to Kilkenny when they were in their pump, their goalkeeper was the one fellow who never got an all-star, like, you know, because he never got anything to save. But so the goalkeeping has changed in terms of how you're rating fellas now. And the big thing is rating fellas on his puck outs. But for this year's All-Ireland final, he actually did have to make 2 very good saves from Stephen Bennett, even though they weren't brilliant shots, but he was still effective. Then he did get a couple of saves to make and his handling was good. But I suppose traditionally for where we would have played, it was saving the ball was the biggest thing. Now it's actually puck out strategy is the biggest thing for the keeper.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd say about this is, right, so I'm watching all the games all year, like, and I'm watching high balls dropping in top of a goalkeeper under the crossbar and that. And for me, right, I haven't seen a man that I just relax with seeing the ball dropping in high the edge of the square, whether there's a full forward approaching, a corner forward approaching, that you know Nicky Quaid is going to catch the ball and do something positive with it. And like that, when you played in the backs, TJ, before, when you were a forward and then you became a defender, obviously, but the goalie behind you, one of the beautiful thing to let the ball over your head, knowing that he would handle it. Like,
yeah, well, they say good hurlers can play anywhere, Dello. But yeah, I would agree with you there. he's as safe as houses in terms of, like, he's a very good outfield hurler for his club as well, Nicky. Like, he's been a powerhouse.
Well, that's it.
F in there for years. So he's just an all-round hurler. Like, he really, really fully understands the whole puck out strategy. He's taking it to a new level. And it's a big part of Limerick's game and a big part of the Limerick success.
Yeah, it's nice too that to look down the field and Diego and Tom Morrissey and Keane Lynch running into pockets of space for puck outs. I will say that now.
Yeah, you still have to execute it. Don't take it away from him. But I do agree with you. Like, it's an all sides. But look, Nicky, for me, he nails it.
I like Saki, Stephen O'Keefe, sorry. I like him as a keeper. Jeannie Mackey pulls off some saves. Like, but I think Nicky, on the balance of things, then. So the full back line, for me, look, those 3 front runners for Hurler of the Year, and it'll be Hago. And then you're saying, like, any other year, Tom Morrissey be Hurler of the Year. And any other year, Kyle Hayes be Hurler of the Year. Let's, for me, Dan Morrissey wouldn't be far off Hurler of the Year. Like, to be asked to go from 7 to 3 to do a job because you're down Mikey Casey, you're down Rich English, and to go in and do the job he did in it, I think is an incredible feat from that man. Do you know, it's a completely different position. And he went in and did some job there.
I was reading stats though. I think in the 5 games, was it 3 or 4 points were scored at him in 5 games, right? And I think he conceded 2 frees. And he questioned one of them. So for a fullback to have those type of stats, your argument is well stacked from that point of view. Just an incredibly consistent year.
It was an incredible feat, Mark.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that both himself and Barry Nash took up 2 new positions, Anthony, and they both looked slightly suspect, I thought, in the first match they played. But after that, the both of them grew into their positions and they looked very, very comfortable in the All-Ireland final, playing a fullback and cornerback. But Dan was excellent. And I thought early on that he could have been caught in the turn, but he was never exposed in the turn, I felt. And Dela, you haven't mentioned Sean Finn in there. You've mentioned like the likes of Hayes, well, and Morrissey. Jesus, Sean Finn is unbelievable as well, isn't he?
For me, Sean Finn is the best natural defender in the game.
Yeah. Strong, physical, very calm on the ball, very calming influence on the team as well, and does a fantastic touch. And he glides over the ground. Do you remember Dennis Mulcahy? He was the player for Cork cornerback. He was playing with Middleton as well, cornerback. Just very efficient. Yeah. No fuss about him. Thought he's a very, very good player. Excellent player now. And he's you'd have seen him with the development squads. He'd probably just passed through, I'd say, before you came into Limerick.
Just.
But I saw him for 3 years now in the Vela 15, 16 and 17 and he was great bit of stuff. But he has turned into a powerhouse. Like, look at the size of him. Like, he's a tank and he can move.
I love him on my team now. If there was nearly a transfer window for Clare and we had any bit of money, but we haven't the tosser, I'd try and buy Sean Finn, but JP would probably say, you're not going anywhere, kid. There's a big contract here for you, TJ. But the Dyburk one, lads, yeah, he was very good when we signed, wasn't he? He's a great defender, there's no doubt about that. And I would go with Dyburk, I will say. I thought the boys got that right. I'd give, you mentioned Conor Delaney, Mark.
Yeah,
you have to give Barry Nash a huge mention as well, I think. Would, do you know who I'd give a huge mention to there would be Shane McNulty. Think about the Limerick corner forwards now. I think Shane McNulty didn't come into the narrative. I thought he had a desperate steady year for Watford. And like, you know, they obviously lost Shane Fives and Ian Kinney came in there, let's say. Shane McNulty was Mr. Consistent for Watford. Like.
And the funny thing is that he has been in the panel for 7 or 8 years, Dela, and could never get the nod with any of the previous managements. And Liam Cahill saw something in him. Derek had mentioned earlier on in the podcast that he was flying with the club as well. And it shows that the club form as well, being played beforehand, probably sprung him into prominence. And fair play. And like, you know, a new management team always kind of see something maybe different that, you know, when you're there a long time for that, geez, he never made it and he was never going, you know, he was, but maybe selectors never had the faith to give him the nod either. And I suppose they lost Noel Connors and Shane Fies were the two regular cornerbacks, so it's very hard to get the two of them out of it. But when Noel was gone this year, the opportunity arose and a new manager. But he was very, very consistent now. Yeah, he was excellent, actually.
Yeah, and very honourable mention for Conor Prunty as well, I think. You know, Watford captain, young captain, Janie Mackey, he had a great year as well. Like, but I suppose Dan for me, I thought, come back there. So we're happy. The halfback line, lads. Burns and Hayes, Genie Mack, what years they had. Tig, lads, I mean, County is going first next year, we understand, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Tig is probably a doubt now again. It's no doubt the Crusade has gone again. He jogged off the field, and Don Logue said to me, the match was on, and we were obviously analysis or whatever, or the panel, and Don Logue said, Crusade has gone again, Dela. And I said, how do you know? Like, he says, watch him, he's not even going to go off for treatment. He says, and he went straight up and sat down. Like, he just told the doctor nearly, it's gone. I heard it going. Like, so it's going to be very hard for Tig to be back for next year. Like, and
he's no chance to be back for next year, Dela, because the Crusade is kind of 6 or 8 months. But in the All-Ireland final, he was a savage loss for that Waterford team because he was their key defender all year long.
I was going to say, Dela, your worst injuries, or you would be like myself, just like an old bad horse, never brought down.
Oh, I plodded along at the same speed the whole time, did you?
I know the feeling.
I've had a couple of discs out and I've had a hip operation since it all ended. But while I was there, I never got injured, bare teeth and fingers and things like that. Like, I don't mean PJ O'Connell now, but Landers got him sent off once there. You tried to get him sent off. He always targeted poor old fingers.
Yeah.
Yellow card, yeah.
He, I tell you, he had some ten in him now. Like, he was a fella, obviously. That is he a carpenter by trade by any chance? Because
he was a roofer. That what he was? If you were above in a roof the whole summer of 95, you would have tanned legs as well, kid.
I can't believe Loch Nan left him out in the sunshine, that he wasn't like you inside the bank taking it handy behind, taking the money in, giving the money out, talking to this and that fella. It would be a disaster in the bank because you'd be talking too much. You wouldn't be doing any work.
The bank wouldn't take me back after all the bad loans I give out. I used to go out for a few pints on a Sunday night. Like, that was the only night I could get to go out for a pint. And like, the locals in Clarecastle now, and Clarecastle, TJ, as you know, like, be kind of a mix and match and be a working class village. Like, but I love it. Like, you know, that I'm a working class kind of guy myself. And like, the lads who would come up to me on a Sunday evening and said, Dela, called in tomorrow for a bit of an overdraft. And I said, how much do you want? A few hundred will do there. Yeah, well, Colin, I saw that. I think when I was leaving, Martin Coffey, my old manager, you know him, Mark, lovely fella.
Gentleman, absolutely lovely.
Great guy. Matt Coffey, one of the best, boy, I tell you, he was some man. But he says, come here, your filing cabinet still has to be addressed, mister, even though you're rotten in the sports shop there. He says, I need you back for 3 days. I says, forget about them loans I give out to the Clarkcastle lads.
Write them off.
It just reminds me, my wife works in the bank, actually, in the AIB in Kilmallock, and actually the poor man is dead since, but she said one day there, behind the counter, it was a Monday, it was Mac Day in Kilmallock, and I fell out a few pints drank, a good few pints drank. He came into the bank, and up to the counter, he comes, and he goes, I need to talk to somebody who knows something about horses, right, in his well-esteemed voice, right? And she was there, horses? He says, yeah. He says, I need to talk to somebody who knows a lot about horses. And she was there, why is that? And he goes, because I have a great tip for a horse, right? I have no money, and if someone understands, they'll give me loan.
I tell you one thing, if it was you instead of the wife that was working there, he'd have gotten it at the time. If it was around the early 90s, anyway, he'd no problem getting a few hundred off me, you know.
You would have understood, Taylor. You would have given the loan back the horse for the job.
Yeah, to be better than the 325 at Sedgefield yesterday.
Don't talk to me. What a disaster.
Don't talk to you. Don't talk to me after it. I'd be saying that to you. Jesus. Thank God I had the Christmas shopping done in Tesco. I tell you that much. Go on, Lenders, I'll let you off with it.
Aye, you'll be getting no tip for Christmas, though, if that's the case, though. Play your cards right now.
Mackie, we'll get it back over Christmas. We'll get it back.
Dalo, that's a meant to be listened to,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, we'll get it back. We'll get it back. The halfback line picks itself.
As a great pal of mine, TJ, says, they've only the loan of it.
They've only the loan of it, yeah, sure. Tighe, inspirational for Wad for all year. Definitely fully deserving to be centre-back. And the two boys, like two twin towers there, Burns and Kyle Hayes. Kyle Hayes, probably the move of the year in terms of the player. We questioned it earlier on, even including myself.
I did anyway.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't question as to whether Kyle could do the job there. I just questioned as to whether he'd be a big last in a half-hour lane. But sure, like, as it turned out.
But putting Keane Lynch in there. Like, they tried Reedy first. It wasn't a success, DJ. And then Keane Lynch went in afterwards.
Yeah, just really suited their game. He's bombing on there down the line. Big 6'6" unit. Fastest player in the panel too, over 100 and 200 metres, so that'll just tell you like what you're dealing with there, like. So yeah, but half back line picks itself, I think we're a uniform there, so we're moving on.
Hold on a while,
serious player, didn't have a good All-Ireland final.
Are you picking him ahead of Dermot Burns or Kyle Hayes?
No,
we'll move on.
Could you, as some people have done, could you put Bourne centre-back, leave Tighe out and play Callum Nines wing-back?
No.
Okay, we're agreed on that. Move on.
And there's
the two-man midfield with us, is it?
Two-man midfield, yeah.
Absolutely two-man midfield, yeah.
Right, the first midfielder for me anyway, and he wasn't on the Sunday game team of the year, would be William O'Donoghue.
Big call, Dela. Big call.
So I don't think it's a big call. I think he was outstanding. He is the Ollie Baker. He is the Mike Coolahan. He is the wrecking ball there. Like, I tell you, when Kylie sits down to pick his team, I'd say he writes Will and starts from there. Nicky, Will, and then he builds around. Will is lads. He is hitting centre backs. He is hitting centre forwards. He is linking play. Now he's scoring points as well.
Yeah.
For me, I can't see how anyone he doesn't do anything flashy, you see, that. So some people don't maybe put him in. But for me, Will O'Donoghue is...
Did you leave Jamie Barron outside, Dylan?
I did. I just thought he had a good Munster final and a good Ireland final.
Yeah. I left Jamie Barron.
Jamie Barron is the Duracell bunny to me. He's brilliant. I love Jamie Barron. But
yeah,
I'm just picking it on the year I saw. Like, I'm not picking the best team in Ireland that I would take on China with. I'm picking the team of the year. And for me, William O'Donoghue is the number one midfielder.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky to pick the top eight. I didn't put Will O'Donoghue in, but I have been giving him an honourable mention. I placed Ozzy at full forward, so that left Tony Kelly and Keane at midfield for me. So it's probably the way you pick the front eight. But Will O'Donoghue certainly honourable mention. Hard to disagree what you're saying there. You know, he fits into the game plan perfectly. When Kyle goes forward, he slips in, he plays the half back line, like himself and Declan Hannan's positioning play is a big part of the system. It works incredibly well, and I will agree with you. I think Will is a significant key to that.
Come on, All Ireland winning midfielder captain.
Yeah, I'm of kind of a similar vein. I picked Leeson actually full forward as well. Predominantly,
so did I.
He had a very steady year, and he had a very, very good final. I picked Jamie Barron as well in the middle of the field, and I had to include Tony Kelly as far as I could. So, because he was outstanding. And I think the rest of the forwards kind of picked themselves. Galland, Bennett, Tom Morrissey, TJ Reid, Garrod Hegarty. And when Gleeson is there, TK has to. So it's a toss-up then between Keane Lynch, Jamie Barron and Will O'Donoghue for the last
five. Who won between Jamie Barron and Will O'Donoghue twice in the two huge games we look at, the Munster final and the All-Ireland final? Let's face it, they are the two biggest days in our world here now.
Yeah.
Who won the midfield battle? What was this?
Will O'Donoghue won. I mean, Jamie didn't, and you're right, he's kind of... he's a fellow you struggle to, actually. He's not a TK or he's not a Keane Lynch or he's not a Jamie Barron fellas that roll off the tongue and probably are not getting the exposure maybe or the press that he probably deserves.
Mark, are you leaving Keane Lynch on your team?
I am. Because of the makeup of, like, the six forwards, Hegarty, TJ Reid, Tom Morrissey, Galan, Gleeson, Stephen Bennett. Are they your six forwards as well?
Hold on, we'd move into the forwards, Dan.
They are. And that's why I think Keane and Tony Kelly will leave. I don't think you can leave Keane Lynch out of the team, right? He's key to this Limerick setup. He makes everything take through that middle third. He's flair alone. He's positional movement for the boys. He's use of the ball. He scores. For me, and I will be strong on this one now, Keane Lynch is in.
I've Keane Lynch and Will O'Donoghue as my midfield, unashamedly.
And I've Tony Kelly and I've Jamie Barron as my midfield. But I could flip on Jamie Barron for Will O'Donoghue. But Keane Lynch played centre forward most of the year, TJ. And when we picked the Munster team for the last 25 years and you put Patrick Hogan full forward and left out Nicky English and he on the team of the century, come on.
You're going back to the first lockdown.
Tony
Kelly played most of his games in the forwards too. Look, we're probably talking about...
You wanted Jordine in every team that you picked all year.
No, but he should have been on it.
Larry got Owen Kelly in there, didn't he?
He did, the cute whore, yeah.
Why was there a question about Owen Kelly being on the team, like, in all fairness? Like, anyway, that was for the first lockdown.
We've settled on two midfielders, and Larry probably has a casting vote here. So me, I'm going to start Keane and Tony Kelly for me.
Well,
Tony Kelly played Conor Farr for Clare all year. Like, he might have been wearing number 8, but he played top of the right all year.
So what forward are you leaving out, sir? Have you Gleeson in as well?
Yeah, I'm leaving out Aaron Gillane.
I am.
I'm not picking the team that I'd like to take on China, as I said. Aaron Gillane will be all day on that team. I think he's a brilliant player. I've said that. He's probably the most effective forward in Ireland. But on the year, I thought Prunty did a fair job on him in the Munster final. He got the better of Prunty in the Ireland final. He didn't excel, I thought, against Galway. There was injury doubt. I just thought it wasn't a vintage Gillane year. I don't have any inside Limerick forward, but I've an all Limerick midfield. Larry, will you come in there and will you shed it? You're from Tipperary, Larry.
Lads, if you're basing it on productivity in terms of minutes on the field, you're like, you can't look past Michael Breen there, can you?
You've got to love him. Like, don't you? Oh. And have you Arteta as manager of the year?
You're going to have to get Tony Kelly in there somehow, like, so.
But Tony Kelly's going to be kind of forward, Chuck.
We're probably all talking about the same 16 or 17 players, which is good. Here's one devil for the forward, because the forward's straightforward. Tom Morrissey, TJ Reid, Garrod Hegarty are guaranteed. Ozzie, Stephen Bennett, they're probably in. I've Gillane in, right? But we're splitting hairs. Here's one for you. Shamie Flanagan.
Nah.
Started the semi-final, started the final. Like, we can't get on the team of the year on the basis of that. Jesus, you stop. I know how good he is, like, but you can't put him in the team of the year on that basis.
Hey, TJ, you're as bad as Roy Keane now when you were going through the Liverpool team. He wanted every fella from United playing, like, do you know what I mean? And I love Keane now, to be fair, and he's probably right, all United fellas should be playing. I mean, you can't have all the Limerick fellas in the team, TJ. Like,
why not?
He's doing a Roy Keane in it.
I'm only saying, I'm giving him an honourable mention, right? I'm saying, he might have only
TJ, have you a table booked for today? TJ, last time we're talking to you, you had a table booked for the afternoon. Have you a table booked for today?
Yes. it's the last day of the working year for us 95ers. I'm not like you. I have to work hard 95. 52 weeks in the year.
Mondays you can stay on this for two and a half hours.
I'm entitled to my little break up today. So anyway, I'm giving an honourable mention to Shane Flanagan. Semi-finals and finals, they are the key big games in the year. He's getting an honourable mention for me. Hard to put him in the first 15. But
name your two midfielders in the story.
Cian Lynch and Tony Kelly.
Let Mark.
Tony Kelly, and I'll give you Will O'Donoghue.
Tony Kelly, Will O'Donoghue. So I'm saying Will O'Donoghue, Cian Lynch. So Larry, will you sort this out somewhere? Michael Breen is not on the team, Larry. He was good when he came on as a sub, no, right? Again, another man I wouldn't mind having in Clare, Michael Breen. But
you can't accommodate Cian Lynch in the forwards either, of course, can you? No. You have to give that TJ.
He didn't have a great final, no, lads. In comparison to the two other half forwards.
He let you down badly in the fantasy there in the final day, though.
Shut up, Larry, right? There's no mention of fantasy today, right? Oh, like, the boys in Iroa now, on Iroa, like they got plenty mileage out of us all year now. And Landers, this is the wooden spoon.
Hey! Your Christmas present.
It doesn't look too bad.
Carl texts me, he says, they're doing a National League one. And I says Landers could do with the National League one as well as the pre-season
tours.
So we'll enter that as well.
I could do with the spoon, Dale, to start the soup for the Christmas dinner now. Is there any chance you'll be able to send it down by DHL?
I'll tell you one thing. I'd say you do nothing for the Christmas dinner. I'd say on it, run your hole, drink
it
the wine.
We'd hate it.
Oh, jeez, you'd hate it. All right. Okay, I'm going to go with you. So it's Tony Kelly and who? So, like, lads, are you leaving Cian Lynch off the team then? Or on the team? Or what?
He's not on my team.
He's in for me, so you have to cast the ball.
All right, Cian Lynch has been. It's Cian Lynch, the first 20 minutes. He was brilliant in the All-Ireland match. He failed, all right, like.
I'd hate to be picking the team, the two of you.
Like, if he got O'Keefe, to be fair, the two saves O'Keefe made from Kyle and then the volley from Cian that he got down to, like, I mean, if that was a goal, lads, well, the match is probably over too early if he got a goal there, but for neutrals, but like for me, that first 20 minutes he was on fire.
But you know, it's like this, so I think we're all agreed on the six forwards except for
Gillan.
So what I'm saying to you is, it comes down to decision, right? It's either
I'd be shot in the well.
It's Gillan or Lynch is what it is.
No way, like
Hegarty, TJ Reid, Tom Morrissey, Gleeson, and Bennett. Now,
there's
five. Your buddies in the Sunday game, Dalo didn't pick Gleeson. Am I right?
Yeah, they didn't. They picked three in the half hour line, obviously, of Cian Lynch. Oh no, Tom Morrissey, TJ, and Hago. But they picked Cian Lynch, Jamie Barron, Tony Kelly in midfield. They picked Tom Morrissey, TJ Reid, and Gerard Hegarty, and they picked Ozzy and Gillan, two men inside. So,
good inside line. No,
they didn't pick Ozzy. They picked Stephen Bennett.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But the three of us have Gleeson in.
I'd have Ozzy in there. I thought he was brilliant in the final. I thought he kept the fight going for Watford.
So it's Keane or Gillan, Dillon. One which,
Aaron Gillan to me is the best forward in Ireland in loads of ways, the most effective forward in Ireland. But I just think he didn't have a flow on year like we normally know. He had a brilliant final. Four from Clare was in the final.
Yeah.
I don't think in the year there was in it you can leave Gillan out. I don't think you can leave Keane out either.
TJ, you are in danger now wanting the whole Limerick team on the team, like.
No, but you said the stats don't lie. 4 points in play in the Ireland final. It would have been a great performance, or it was overshadowed by two superior, possibly three superior Limerick performances on the day, right? So I think scoring the freeze, doing what he did all year leading the line, hard to argue against. Gillan has to be in.
Right, so the half-hour line, the two wing forwards picked themselves in it, right?
Correct.
And I presume the blue and white helmet is 11, is he?
No question.
TJ?
See, now that you've kind of...
Oh, Jesus, right. He wants to get...
He wants to deliberate. Unbelievable
stuff. Jeff, somebody cut him off quick.
You're after shagging me up now because we don't know who's gone in and I don't have a problem with that. But Cian has to be in, like.
No, so, not a hope.
No. What I'm going to say is, could we play TJ full forward and throw Cian in 11?
No chance. TJ Reid is the iconic forward.
I'm not saying he's on the team.
Yeah, but centre forward, he played centre forward, barring one game in actual fact. against Galwindel and stuff finally. I thought he struggled in the full forward line, but he's been absolutely brilliant.
He's in.
There's an easy solution here, is Keane Lynch midfield and Tony Kelly, where he played all year, top of the right.
You're making too many changes now.
Making changes. I'll
go back on that. So go back to Keane. I'll go back. Tony Kelly, Keane Lynch in the middle of the field, and Tony Kelly in 13.
I'm
going to put Galan at 14. I'm going to drop Ozzy.
We'll come to that. Are you agreed?
No, not at all. You're only trying to facilitate the Limerick fellas. Will you go way out of that?
Are we agreed? You won't agree, Mark, with Keane Lynch and Will O'Donoghue midfield.
I don't have Keane Lynch in my team, and I've left Jamie Bannon out of the team. I can accept Will O'Donoghue, no issue. But Garrod Hegarty, TJ Reid, and Tom Morrissey has to be the half forward line. Try and play the fellas. And I know now TJ, the TK has played in the forward line, but like the rest of the forward.
We're in half forward.
Keane Lynch was third favourite for player of the year going into the final. And you're leaving him out of your team, Mac Landers.
Yeah, he got hold of the year in 2018, which is enough for him.
Lads, the whole country be talking about us. No, Keane Lynch not on our team.
No, Keane has to be in. No,
I wouldn't say that. They'll just have decisions to be made. We've made them before. We'll have to make them again.
I'm for Keane Lynch and Will O'Donoghue midfield.
Seconded.
Right, 2-3. That's the way it goes.
Decision made. Okay, move on.
Half forward lined in is Tom Morrissey, TJ Reid, and Gerard Hegarty.
Unanimous.
Correct.
Okay. My full forward lined in is Tony Kelly, Austin Gleeson, and Stephen Binnett.
Okay, so we're all agreed Tony Kelly is in.
Tony Kelly has to be in.
Not a problem.
Not a problem.
So we've now 2-3.
Right.
I'm going to go with Galan and Binnett. Sorry, Yazzie.
I'm going with Gleeson and Binnett.
So, sorry, TJ. Aaron doesn't make it.
Okay.
That's the team of the year from the Irish Examiner in conjunction with Renault, the drive of your life.
Is that the five-seater or the three-seater?
That's the Kijar, not the Coolios.
I love it.
Paddy McGee, if you're listening there, I drive a Coolios for 2021 there.
Need just a seven-seater with the three-seater.
Mark Landers, TJ, what you want?
I'd like some kind of a 4x4 with a hitch in it there.
A hot box.
Yeah. Go and do a small bit of farming there in 2021.
Not doing anything else besides farming? No.
You heard it here first. I'm not doing anything else. I'll be available for selection for the podcast if I'm picked.
If Clarkcastle approached you, would you give a hand like?
No, I said 10 years hard on the road, Dundello, and I've been promising lads at home that I'm going to take a little bit of time out, and I'm sticking with that at the moment. There's a fella here in Cube, James Maloney, and he's a great saying, no matter what we do, he's stick to the plan. He's a Mayo man. He's put it down hard there for the last couple of years.
Yes, he has. I'd be inclined to say, as the great Dr. Phil would say, so how's that working for you? Stick to the plan.
But in fairness, he's the financial controller operations manager here in Cube, and anytime we ever have a meeting, he'd always finish with, stick to the plan.
Okay, so that's it. That's agreed, right?
Perfect.
Quaid, Finn, Dan, Dahi Burke, Burns, Ty, Kyle, Keane Lynch, Will O'Donoghue, Tom Morrissey, TJ Reid, Gerard Hegarty, Tony Kelly, Austin Gleeson, and Stephen Binnett.
Can't believe
it. I know it's not agreed, but that's the team.
Yeah, we're agreed. That's the team.
Okay. So we've left out Jamie Barron.
Okay.
And we've left out Aaron Galen.
We have, and we've left out Callum Lyons, and we've left out Conor Prunty, and we've left out Desi Hutchinson. We've left out Conor Delaney, Barry Nash, Brian Concannon. I thought, great, you forgot.
And Michael Breen.
Really came of age. And Michael Breen as well. Hi, Mikey Breen, if you're listening, we think you're a right one. If you have any relations with Claire, Mikey, we take you as well. Okay. So, and manager of the year, Mikel Arteta. Sorry, Larry. Okay.
Who's in charge of Spurs Dale at the moment?
The special one.
Oh, Jesus, Josie back is. You got to the top, you didn't last long, did you?
Sure, it's only a minor blip. We'll be back.
You got your chance to stay up there for Christmas.
It was a strange year. Sport at the top of the league for a while there. I saw one of the tweets. They went from first to fourth faster than London, didn't they?
Jesus, I tell you one thing, boy. It is bad enough listening to the United crowd, Larry. But when the Liverpool crowd now are sawing it into everyone, I'm old enough to remember the sickening Liverpool crowd of the 80s. Remember them, Larry?
I remember them well.
They were winning weren't
they? The boys with the Yellow Crown paint jerseys, is it?
The only glory era I can't go back as far as is the Spurs one. That's the end of my time now.
Well, go back to my brother Michael again, the eldest of eight. He can remember the 61 double team.
Horror of the year. Are we moving on to that?
There's no need to move on to that. It's Garrod Higgins.
Job done. Super year by Garrod. Playing at a different level. Super stuff. Yeah, great.
Lads, what was your, like, it's a funny year now, and we've had great crack here now. And I think we've looked forward to this as the listeners, I hope, have as well. And we said that. But what was something that stuck out for the three, you know, Larry? Get your thinking cap on there, wrap it. And you can say Arsenal win the cup if you want. Anything in 2020, that's the queerest year. And a tough times again. And I have a bar down there that is not open. And it's hard going not to be able to go down and drink a few creamy pints of porter, because Morty Brown's porter is as good as where you'll get in Ireland. And we will have a road show from there. We have a few places to get to know the way it's going on. But there will be one in West Clare. And everyone is staying in the Daily household. That night, but it was a mad year. Like, what sticks out for you, lads?
It was a mad year.
What sticks out for you?
I have a couple, Dale. Can I be afforded a couple?
No, you can't do a couple now. This is like
I just want to give you a couple. Like, but it was a strange year. Like, I even got a WhatsApp the other day saying it's a strange year that Chris Rea's car failed the NCT.
So he's walking home for Christmas. I'm hitching home for Christmas.
For me, personally, winning the Tour County in St. Thomas's, right? Obviously, it was a great moment. A couple of moments, two things stick out for me. The goals. Richie Hogan's goal was a thing of beauty. You don't see that many goals in Hurling anymore. It was off the charts in terms of just initiative, hands, flick, brain. Just on the goals as well. David Dempsey scored two goals in the county final for Limerick, which seems like a long time ago now. They were off the charts as well. But the thing that's sticking out for me at the moment, and we're taking it for granted, is the standard of free taking and sideline taking, Delo, is gone to a level that is just mental. Like, we are taking it for granted now, literally a free from your own half back line up must be scored. Any position on the field, and we're nearly getting to that stage now with some teams, that sidelines from midfield in are nearly a point. So for me, something that sticks out is the standard of dead ball taken is just off the planet.
When you say it now, I just think straight away to the Galway game against Tipper. Jesus, like, on my holy mother of God, like, lads, whatever you do, don't give away a sideline cut. I only wonder. It's just like, when do we think we'd say that? Like, you know, amazing stuff. Yeah, you're dead right. I would never give 2 points for it, though. I think that would, you know, I'd hate to think that it would be a 2 point thing. Mark,
but could you say maybe from the if it's outside the 65-yard line that you might give 2 points for it?
No,
it's
no one on
them. But Camille, it's a bit like the American football at the end, Dale, when you get 2 points for if you run over the line after getting the conversion, you get 2 points instead of one. So it could come down to a critical stage where you get a sideline ball outside of 65 and you get 2 points. But anyway, for me, two things again. I thought the live streaming for the club championship was fantastic during the lockdown, that we were able to beam into every club's front room and give the matches to people.
And was the Cork championship on that?
I think you were probably watching because it's for free, Dale, above, and I don't know. I think you got the Wi-Fi in and stuff like that as well. So
West Clare Wi-Fi, especially mentioned there, lads.
Yeah, and I thought the second lockdown, then the inter-county stuff was on, and I must say the 6 weeks of the second lockdown flew by for me, and I think the GAA has been wonderful for people in this country this year. And on a personal note, the 15th of August 2020 was a brilliant day for the Landers household, because the Queen went into the dip down in Tramore at 14-1. My wife never watched the race in her life. We watched it on the phone because we don't have racing TV. And next of all, she swoops up in the green and white, and I said, go on the Queen. And she says, is that her on the outside coming up? I says, it is, yeah. I says, she looks like she's going to win. And I says,
go on, describe it.
Go on the Queen. And the three boys are in the room as well, and they run over, and there's five of us saying, go on the Queen, go on the Queen. And
Hey, it was fair tight. It was fair tight match. He won by literally a hair. Like, it was
and here's the rest of it, right? The cameras then flash on to fucking Dennis Hogan's horse. I says, we're done. We're fucking done now. Anyway, I said, and next of all, who rings but Pat Mull? And the TV camera gets cut off. So he said, is she up? Is she up? I said, I don't know, Pat, because I said, you'll just have to cut me off there. So he says, wait. He said, I'll have it on. He had another phone. And I tell you, it was the longest 2.5 minutes of my life. And next of all,
Jesus.
I hears me man letting a roar out of him at the other side of the phone. She's up.
Okay, he roared.
Yeah. You saw his commentary on the Munster final when McKean got the goal, like that went viral. So that was the highlight.
He did another classic in the Cork semi-final, did he? Who kicked the free for Castlehaven?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He's good on.
Brilliant for a young man. Good man
to take a bet too in his day, in fairness to him.
Wouldn't know. good operator, no. Great bit of stuff, to be honest with us.
A lot of our listeners have backed the Queen there the last couple of times there in the hurdle race and then in the flat and Dundalk. And then no sign of her, Mark, now. There's no racing again in Dundalk until January.
She was balloted out again. She's been balloted twice now the last two times, but she actually had a cough last week. So she's, I think she didn't get the virus now, but she'll probably be back in maybe in 3 weeks' time, I'd be saying. Again, she might need a run day or the next day, like, you know?
How many fucking runs does she need?
You know, it's a bit like the challenge matches before the championship. You don't go straight into the championship day without having a few practice runs under your belt, so...
Okay, listeners, don't be giving him any more stick on Twitter because he gets it all back anyway.
Stella, give us your moment and where are you at in the bigger picture?
Well, I tell you now, TJ, I had one moment in the year and that was the Galway County final when you went across abusing the Turlough Moore crowd and the referee. Be careful, Barry. Big Barry has been a feature of the year in 2020. And
Big Barry,
but this is a different Big Barry. Big Barry Cullinan came running after you, all 6'8" of him, is there? And you, I tell you one thing, I never saw a man to get out of a situation as rapid in my whole life.
And that was a good call. And the good
a
news.
A good run.
Yeah, the good news
is
for
better
Big Barry,
than a bad stand.
Tis true. the good news for Big Barry is he doesn't have me to deal with in 2021, right? But the bad news is, he might have a bigger match coming down the track. Is that right, Dello? On the sideline and at the
well, Barry,
I can see it coming.
You want to give us a scoop, Dello? Do you want to give the old...
He was a mentor there with the Galway 20s winning the All-Ireland football. Barry Cullinan's a gas man. But TJ, you did the right thing there and you legged it. And Barry, I won't be fighting with you come hell or high water during the year. I'll leave that to the locals.
Is it official, Dela?
Yeah.
I'm going up to give Sars a bit of a hand there, Mark. TJ is the king of Galway hurling now. So, another little highlight for me was in the last week, Mark. I think he might be Larry's local TD there, Donegal O'Leary, Sinn Féin TD there for Cork South Central. Yeah. I know you're not on Twitter, but he just said, just listen back to the Dale O'Hurland show, whatever, Irish amateur, but this is what he tweeted. He says, Cork people are born with a great ability to put Cork into the middle conversation about something else. But listening back to the Examiner All-Ireland Final Review podcast, Mark Landers is on another level at it. Hashtag Corkness. I love that. I just texted him back or tweeted him back. I said, Donegal, tis a fact. The shit is bad now in every match you play and you can put Cork hurling like the day after the All-Ireland final.
Listen, Della, boy, not a problem, boy. It's a natural ability. So Larry is writing about it. Tracy Kennedy is talking about it in her We'll Be Back, boy. We'll be back.
Tracy's gone. And she did a great job.
Unbelievable. In her 3 years, like she oversaw Frank.
See, here we go.
Frank moving on. And the news, like the surface in Parky Cueve is the number one surface in the country at this moment in time. And we saw how Croke Park cut up late in the season. There was no reason why a couple of those matches couldn't be played in Parky Cueve. And the debt and all that kind of stuff. But mighty woman.
Donegal, if you're listening, he's still at us. Come on, so give us the tip, so for the our
for the pod,
our listeners.
No,
for the pod special for Stephen's Day or the day after the Christmas race and festivals that are coming up. Okay. The Marklander special. This is the, come on, lads.
Right,
TJ.
We mentioned this fellow on the pod a couple of weeks ago. There was a horse sold over in Yarton by the name of John Bonn. It's a full brother to Duvan, right?
But it's the fellow that made all the money.
Correct. Yeah. Your buddy TJ Bottom, Mr. JP McManus. Yeah, have they decided where he's going training yet?
He's going to Nicky.
Right, okay. Yeah. So basically, in a small world here now, Dale, right? Because GA and National Hunt, right? But the owner of that horse was a fellow by the name of Paul Holden. And he actually is the sponsor of Ballyhale Shamrocks in Kilkenny. That horse was bought as a store as a 3-year-old for 140,000 by a man by the name of Michael Shefflin from Kilkenny, who's a first cousin of Henry's. So, funny thing is, yesterday, didn't the Holdens bring a horse to Lingfield by the name of Darwell Lyne? And she duly obliged under Holly Dial. Okay.
No fear, you give me that one instead of the York at Sedgefield.
I was a bit kind of dodgy about that one. But the Holdens of one horse only entered for Christmas. Right? One.
Right.
And they have minted in Limerick on the 26th, Kempton on the 27th, and Leopardstown on the 27th. Now, because of the restrictions yesterday, that horse won't be going to Kempton. And I hope he's not already over there, which will be a problem, because they won't be able to get him back. But this horse is a horse by the name of French Aseel, A-S-E-E-L. So if he's still in the country, he'll either run in Limerick on the 26th or Leopardstown on the 27th. And it's the only horse they have out over the Christmas period.
Trained by whom?
And Elmarie Holden, Paul's daughter.
Oh, Elmarie Holden, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners, you got it first from a successful owner, breeder from Killa. And he lives in Killa as well. Like, so if any you want to call down to him. French Aseel, so, right? French,
it's a 3-year-old juvenile now. So I'm hoping that it's something special. But we'll have to wait and see how that'll pan out. I mean, they'll be a rake of racing now. They're all like Epitente, the last year's champion hurdle winner.
That's Christmas out. Hurdle.
That's kind of, they're all those are well documented, but this could be what, I don't know what price it'll be. It could be anything. It's just the first time out of a job, so.
I know, great stuff, because like, in fairness, I know you know the game. You don't. It doesn't come across like that most of the time, but I know you do know the game. Like. TJ, what'll win the King George, TJ? 3 in a row?
Hard to beat. Oh, the siren name was very good the last day. 50-50, I'd probably come down, go with Clan as a ball for 3 in a row. It's three in a row kind of year, they'll own it.
9-4, like?
Yeah.
3 in a row kind of year. John Thomas is my...
I was going to give you two horses to follow. One in the Stairs Hurling Leopardstown with Ronald Pump. There's a Limerick connection in that horse, and Mike Kiki is involved. Second in the Stairs Hurling last year, ran really well the last day. So Ronald Pump,
TJ, would you believe it? There's a buddy of mine, Timmy Deneen, that actually bred the horse.
That's right, yeah.
I sold it for €1,000.
Yeah, that's right. And has been a marvelous servant, right?
I'm telling you, he's after turning it to ship around now. He's after sending a lot of good ones since then.
Yeah, the other one I was very impressed with the last day, David Russell's man with his horse, presenting Percy in the big race in Leopardstown in the saddles. He's back to his best. Shout out to Davey as well there. He's recovering there from a neck and shoulder injury.
Fairness team. He did a great show with us.
Did a great show with us as well. Yeah. He's trying to get back on the saddle there for the new year. But presenting Percy, one to watch as well. And anything else, we'll keep an eye on Daily Alex. I'll send you a little WhatsApp whenever closer to time. Once I know the ground and the runners and the field and you know, something that a little working man's price. You know yourself. Something for myself and yourself. We wouldn't be in Landers League, as you well know.
What about myself in the Kenyan? Come on, like.
Kenyan. Like, Moses skipped the new year.
Dale said it at the start here, right? Claire Castle and Gary Spillane, working man's territory.
That's the honest to kill, I know. They haven't really racked up 14 in a row. Like, the East Junior, like, doesn't really count. Like,
five James E. Kelleher's, 67, 70, 71, 9. 88 and 95.
These juniors.
The junior East Cox. And they were, I can tell you now, they were the big stuff, like, you know. So
that's what fostered your love of hurling by seeing the East Junior coming back into
Killarney. Jamesy Kelleher, it was like the Liam McCarthy, make no mistake about it. And there's a lot of clubs around East Cork here. Liz Gould, Shanagarry, the Russell Rovers, Dungourney, Fáil O'Neill's were beaten in 12 finals before they won the 13th one. And now, look at them now, they're up at senior level. Like, fantastic.
No, lads, TJ, your Mayo man there that you're going for lunch with and a few drinks, remind him of Fáil O'Neill's 12 finals.
Yeah.
Dorian was getting on in years playing for guys playing, and
here we go.
There was people saying, right, that he shouldn't be playing anymore. But there was one particular game, and it was a great game in the full forward, and he scored 2-4. So he was walking off the field, and he was there. Dorian Ryan, too old, too slow, 2-4.
And you started on to me again in the replay about you're only a sub. And I remember shouting over to you, you're getting cleaned by a junior hurler. And if he turned around and he looked at me indignantly, he went, I'm not a junior. I'm like, oh, Jesus, Darren, for fuck's sake, will you just go along with it, like, you know? And you looked at me and you winked and you laughed.
TJ, I didn't see you producing the tactics board at all on Sunday.
See, you're the way he says that. It's like, TJ,
do you want to see the tactics board at all on Sunday?
I tell you, in fairness, you know, Dale, I haven't seen you looking as sharp in a long time now. You've no schmiggle, the hair is cut. You're definitely down 6 or 7 pounds, I'd say. You must be going back on the TV this weekend,
Dale. I think there's talk of it, all right, but look, 6 or 7 now is harsh. Like, the camera puts a few pounds on you as well, you know what I mean? So, a bit to go, like, today's only Thursday as well, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, trying to make waves. But there'll be all hats and scarves this year, Mark, on the Sunday game, so they'll hide a multitude. So, as if you could pick two managers in the country that you could give something under his tree, you know, that mightn't fit into the room even on Christmas morning, on Friday morning, all you can pick is two now, right? We're not going to go through every team. So, two managers that you give them a Christmas present of something. TJ, pick two. You can't pick Limerick because there's no need.
I go Galway first, right, for Shane O'Neill, right? I would say what he could really do it would be some form of a time warp. If we could take Joe Canning back about 7 or 8 years and introduce him, a 7 or 8 year younger Joe Canning, into the current Galway team, I think they'd have the perfect setup for going forward.
This is realistic stuff, no?
They have a lovely, lovely blend of forwards. So I think a new Joe Canning for Galway would be ideal for them. That's one.
Give me another county and give them their present.
And the other one I was going to go with was Wexford. Right, I was kind of thinking if they could get a game plan. I think they've complicated things an awful lot in 2020. So I think they're under the tree for David this year. If you just get one game plan, stick to the, as James Maloney said here already, right? Give him one message for the year, get a game plan and stick to the plan.
What about the other 9 game plans?
That's what I'm saying. Just get the one and go with it. There's my two.
Right, your two. Come on, Mark, give me two.
I'd say I'd stick on the home side for this one. I'd say if Kieran Kingston could get a set of backs, I'd say he'd be quite happy.
Set of backs.
Yeah.
Set of backs.
If you could just settle on 2-7 and just say, look, lads, that's it now, and stop and get a 3 and a 6 firm down and settle down. I think that'd be a big help.
We stick to the 3 and the 6, like.
Yeah.
In fairness, we all wrote our letter to Santa in our day. Like, but we never asked for six backs, like, and a goalie now needed as well, like.
Yeah,
and Patrick Collins will do that job.
Goalie is there in the background, in fairness.
Six backs, Cork. I'm writing down here.
Six sets of backs.
Go on, give me someone else.
I'd love to roll back for my buddies above in Kilkenny. I'd say bring poor old Cody. I think the time has come. The years have caught up with him.
What? Cody Gunn is your...
No manager for Kilkenny, is that what he's saying?
I think so.
A P45 under his tree, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
This'll make headlines, kid. Landers calls for Cody Gunn.
I can see it already.
Right, Dale, give us your two.
No, I just wanted to ask the two of you about that. That's kind of... I just want... My wish for this year is to avoid Big Barry Colbert. Yeah, I like the Clare County Board to totally back Brian Lohan.
That should be deliverable by Santa, shouldn't it?
I think it should be, yeah, absolutely. And if I can do anything to help that, I will.
Are you telling me you're going to be out with the placards, Dale? Are you going to be following our route?
No. We don't do the strike team. We negotiate. It's been a blast as usual. Come here, what are you going to miss about the next few days with lockdown and everything? What do you usually do? Stephen's there. The long puck and killer is cancelled now.
Yeah, the long puck would normally be going up to Powers and Longs and Mount Juniac starting there about 11 o'clock and we'd puck off around 3 o'clock. We'd have a good bust of 45s and pint bottles of cider and bottles of Bud and ham sandwiches and a few chips and stuff like that, and then plenty of sorted sausages. Puck the ball down the road and down the killer and into the Tatch, toasted specials, and plenty more cider after that. Then another couple of games of 45, and then be capped at home around 11 o'clock and sleep for the following day. That's what I'll be missing now.
And you would have missed that, like.
Yeah.
TJ, what do you normally do?
I would normally be a regular in Limerick Racecourse, and a shout out to Patrick O'Callaghan in the racecourse there, who's normally very good to us in Cube and good to all sports people. He's a regular listener of the podcast, Dale. And there's an invitation from Patrick for us to come and do one of the road shows in the racecourse, possibly with the Queen running at some stage during 2021. Now, wouldn't that be a good idea? And Patrick's a good Corkman as well, Mark. Yeah, so
there's no point making a show of a good pod. There's no point making a show of a good podcast, TJ, with the Queen.
Yeah, true.
TJ, will we be able to get in all the podcast listeners into the parade ring beforehand?
We can get them all in, yeah.
We want them in beforehand, and we want them up beside the trainer so that they can hear the instructions. My instructions.
Yeah. So, yeah, racing is probably, I'll follow it. I'll follow Kempton and Leperstown and Limerick over the 4 days. Normally, we'd be hanging around at home. So it's normally always at home and a bit of racing there for me. So, I'm looking forward to the break. Now, I've worked hard during the year. Anybody you meet in my Cube colleagues here will confirm that for you to say it. It's just been tough going. 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, rarely gets a break. You know, so everyone will be happy that TJ gets a break for Christmas.
Yeah, it's just incredible the work you've put in all year, in fairness. And the cube has got some amount to mention.
The Cube has got a lot of mentions. We need everyone going. It's been a tough year.
Yeah, no, in fairness, no, lads. What do you actually do? Printing and stuff, TJ? Is it?
Yeah, we print anything but money. So anything, booklets, leaflets, labels. We do a nice bit there for the pharma and medtech industry. So IFU booklets, leaflets, cartons. So if you're out there listening and you're in the buying market, have a chat with me in 2021. We'd be delighted to help.
Okay, lads, we didn't even get to... what I'd like to be doing now, Stephen's Day, is going coursing, lads. That's what I love. In Coir de Clare, like, that's a tradition for me, is get up there and first brace and slips at about 11:30, Stephen's morning, and the hound and the hare. I don't care what anyone says about it. It's a tradition in my family and in my village, and we love that. And when I was running the pub, and in later years, all the Clarecastle boys used to arrive at the pub at about 9:30, and my good wife Elise used to have the black pudding and the rashers on off the house, bring them down. The boys would be having the hot whiskies and the hot brandies, and then up to the field at 11:30 for the course, and probably back down at the interval, back up again. it was unreal. Like, what a great day. But look at this year, the course is still going ahead now at the moment, but you know, unless you have owned the dog, two people can go with the dog. That's obviously so that's what I'll miss. But look, we always got back for the King George anyway. That was always a rule, TJ. So I'm like you now, I'll be tuned into the race maybe a cold can of Guinness.
Love it.
Lads, I was going to talk about the new schedule, but we obviously haven't time now because we've rabbited on so long as usual. And I was going to talk about this black card proposal as well, a penalty and a fucking... And a black card.
Nah.
No. Okay, we leave it though. We leave it, right? Because this will kick us off in the new year. We need to talk about these things. The new schedule, I think, is interesting. County first, I suppose it nearly had to go that way. But look, there's the debates for both sides of that. And if we have to listen to the Cork Championship begin anyway, that'll take another 3/4 of an hour if he starts on that. But look, there are things we'll get to. TJ, you wanted to give us a suggestion there maybe before we go?
I was just thinking about this during the weekend. It's in fitting with the year. When we won the county final in Garry's Plan in 2005, right, we would have been under pressure. Thank you, Malik, in the final. we got picked up by a bus at our home pitch to drive to the Gaelic grounds, and we would have been nervous and there would have been a lot of pressure on us, right? I actually don't know who drove the bus, right? But
Tony.
Tony?
Constantine.
No, Tony, luckily, this wouldn't have happened if Tony Constantine was on the bus, because he was the other side of the Gaelic grounds, so he met us in the Gaelic grounds. So we would have been nervous under pressure playing the Mayor rivals in Kilmallock County Final. So the bus driver, about 10 minutes in, he said, right, just to get you relaxed for the match, just as a sure no as you're sitting there, as a true story, he said, I'm going to give you a song. He goes, and you can sing the verse of it here, or the chorus with me, right? So the song was called Don't Give Up Till It's Over, right? Tommy Fleming and the Dubliners sing it, right? And it's actually in keeping with the year, but it's just actually relaxed the whole team and we sang it, right? And it was unbelievable. I said, Tony Constantine knew. I actually don't even know it to this day if he knows it happened, actually. And Donny sings that song now everywhere he goes. So if we're going to Murty's there in the new year. So for the listeners, I'm going to say it's been a strange year. And the chorus of the song, it goes, don't give up till it's over. Don't quit if you can. The weight on your shoulder will make you a stronger man.
Great tune. I remember it. Yeah. They had a good few times, TJ, on the way to matches.
Yeah. So for the listeners, if you're out there in iTunes or Googling a song between here and Christmas Day or between New Year, whatever is going on, sing that one to yourself and sing it out loud and think of the Bouncers winning a county in 2005.
We won it ourselves in 2005. Was the last one we won. 2005 is actually significant. The last All-Ireland Cork one as well. But yeah, Clarecastle had a song that year as well, and it was Wake Me Up When It's All Over. That was from the Monday to the Thursday. No, brilliant, TJ. And lads, look, we're going to make a gesture here. The four of us, Larry, you're included. For listeners out there, lads, if any want to chat, anyone that's loaned some, I don't know if he... I do find, I suppose, that maybe some of our listeners are very in tune with, you know, modern technology. And I know Mark's not on Twitter, but he still could pick up the podcast. And maybe if there's a nephew or a son or a daughter or whatever, then look at if any would like us to have a chat with somebody over the next 2 days, we'll do that. Is that okay?
Absolutely. No trouble.
If anyone wants to talk about Cork, whatever, Dell or something like that, and they'll just kind of get a
talk about anything, the Queen or
Lando's can take all the calls. But Larry, you'll include our numbers in a link, will you?
Yeah, great idea, Dell. I'll put out a tweet there, or if anybody wants to email me directly and they hear this and want to email, just email larry.ryan@examiner.ie, and I'll direct it on to one of you. And I'll put up a tweet as well, and they can send a message to me or whatever.
And we, like, if it's just a happy Christmas and look, it's been a tough year and we're going to get through this and the vaccine's on the way and we're going to be back pucking ball and not telling stories about our youth and stuff like that. Misspent youth, all three of us. And you, Larry, as well. I heard stories about you from your college days there lately from an old colleague of yours. I won't go any deeper into that now. But anyway, look, lads, a whole range of topics today. Just, I suppose, finally to wish all our listeners just the happiest and most peaceful Christmas you can have. And just to hope that you all come out the other side of it. It's like, look, lads, we're lucky. Some of us, you know, and some people aren't, you know, we think of family in the UK even now, don't we? That they can't come home and they would like to be back in Ireland, and maybe some of them can't. And my best friend, Paddy Grussley, he gives us a listen there in Leeds, and he's over there, and he was planning to come home for a few days and just can't now because he's settled over there. And you know, fellas like Russ and those lads, you know, they'd love to be here with us, but unfortunately this year I suppose we just have to drive on. But we'd like to wish all our listeners an absolutely magic Christmas. We'd like to thank y'all for tuning into us, Ramation, and I hope we did you some bit of good during the year, and we are gagging for 2021 and bringing you more Ramesh and maybe new dimensions. But we'd like to thank you. We'd like to thank Reno, and especially Larry, we want to give you a special shout out because you put up with us the whole time.
Hello.
Hello, lads.
And Larry, as the Tottenham Hotspur diehard all my life, and have seen FA Cups, League Cups, UEFA Cups being lifted. They all say the trophy cabinet is empty, but I would like to see Arsenal staying a Premier League side, Larry. So best of luck with the fight against relegation there. You've been a rock, kid. And next year, Michael Breen is in that team of the year. Good luck.
All right, Dela. Have a good Christmas.
With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.